You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can
like,
dig
like,
it.
Solid. Right on.
What's up, man? What's your name?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
My bad. Sorry about that. Good morning, Earl. How are you today, man? I'm feeling great.
Hey, man. I'm doing fine, man. It's Friday.
And, now it's Friday for you now. that's my spiel.
Well, it's Friday. It's 70. It's going to be 75 degrees.
Yeah.
So all is right with the world.
I'm with you on that.
Well, it's going to be 75 degrees today. Tomorrow.
Right, hey, back down to 22.
Who knows, right?
Well, if you don't know by now who that guy is, that's not Elmer Fudd, is it?
No, that's no.
That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Like you said, it's going to be a hot, wet day. So it's sort of tropical. This is tropical spring version Milwaukee 1.0. Tomorrow will be winter spring. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, it's still April. We haven't had a lot of rain yet, right?
Well, not too much, In fact, that's we probably had the right amount, which now that we've said it, it's probably going to go over the edge.
Yeah.
It's supposed to rain for the next several days. April showers, we've got it coming.
Yeah. So Sandy, you and I have been on the airwaves for what? 4 years? 3 years?
No, I thought about it. The first time I appeared on your show was about 7 years ago.
Hey, come on, Sandy. Come on. It's 7 years.
Yeah, it was about 7 years ago on Brady Street, the first time we tried this out. So it's been a long time. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 7 years.
Yeah, well, time flies.
I can't believe I put up with you for 7 years.
I was thinking the same thing, Earl.
that's a mutually
held thought.
Sandy, I will say this. From the first time you sat down in the studio, we sat down together and started talking. Well, you were just such a bashful guy, man. I had to drag it out of you. You don't remember those early days, do you?
Yeah, I guess those days are gone, people think. Lots of listeners are thinking, can't we get back to those days?
And I never will forget how we first wound up connecting. And, again, we were at a little coffee shop over on Brady Street. And after I would leave the radio station, a mutual friend of ours, Roger Quindell, and a couple other guys, Mark and others, wounded Vietnam veterans would meet there. And I'm coming there. Roger invited me, and you're there. And these other guys are doing a lot of talking, and you're kind of serene, man. You're kind of quiet.
And I'm like, serene. I like that notion.
Hey, and you're quiet. And so you weren't talking much. And then one day they all had to go to a ceremony. Remember that?
At
the war memorial. And it was just you and I. And we started talking and talking and talking.
Yeah.
And talking some more. And I think we might have been there for a couple hours. And I said, wow, man, this guy. I said, man, have you ever been on radio? I remember like yesterday, man.
Well, people look at my face and they always say, you ought to be on the radio.
and so we began to have this conversation. And I invited you on. And man, like they say, the rest is history. But Sandy, you so much information, so much knowledge.
Well, we enjoy talking to one another, and I think we both held a mutual interest in trying to hope for the world getting better and trying to understand what the hell's going on in the world, and it's become remarkably difficult, actually.
Well, you know, Sandy, you and I have become the best of friends outside of radio, and we're going to continue that because, man, you know, it's the information that you have and your life and what you've learned, and it's so important to so many people. Man, let me say this to people who, even though this is our last rodeo on the radio during the Earl Ingram show, you and I are going to be doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And so the great thing about podcasts is no commercials.
Well, no commercials, and you can turn them on and listen to them whenever you want to. And, you know, I think the world is kind of transitioning in the direction of podcasts. It's kind of a buffet of information as you want it, when you want it. And, you know, some of the dangers are that by self-selection, people might just choose to be in an echo chamber. But hopefully we're going to offer up some podcasts that are both creative, interesting, and maybe compelling.
Well, there's no question. We're going to have many different people join us on the podcast. And so I'm really excited about the next chapter of where Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram go. This is not the end. It's the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, so Sandy, you know, when I started looking around again for things to talk about, you're a Harvard graduate, and Donald Trump is waging war on Harvard.
Yeah, to me, the notion that the federal government would try to take over a federal university because of a disagreement with respect to the nature of what it is that goes on in the university. He won the demand letter that went to Harvard went so far as to want to take over the admissions policies of Harvard so they could decide who it is that got into Harvard. I mean, there's a running joke in the White House. I'd be interested in whether it's true, but there's the joke around the White House is the schools that Donald Trump is attacking are the ones that Barron didn't get into. And, you know, and who knows? You know, this president acts so unilaterally and out of such individual spite that maybe that is the case. But the fact is that the putative excuse for taking on these universities originally was anti-Semitism. But that's clearly not what's going on here. And the demands going to the universities have little or nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It has to do with taking them over, trying to destroy them in terms of allowing them to be places where liberal thought might be expressed as well as conservative. I mean, Harvard's a university from which many of the conservatives in the U.S. Senate and Congress graduated. And so it's a place that has allowed diversity of thought. It's thought of as being a bastion of liberality, but actually it's a bastion of open thinking and accepts nonconformists. The notion that Harvard University would be under assault by the federal government is, I think, a frightening prospect for every American because it represents the capacity of this government to take on anything and anybody that dissents.
Well, you know, Sandy, every university that did not do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion and did not go along or totally capitulate to Donald Trump, he's threatened. Many of them have knuckle under, Sandy, and they can't, they don't have a $50 billion endowment. So they've had to knuckle under. If people really understood, Sandy, that he's taken away science, man. He's taken away things that are going to benefit the American people in the future.
Yeah, Harvard. More Harvard professors have earned Nobel Prizes than have earned Nobel Prizes in most countries in the world. I mean, Harvard's a sort of a sacred place to the world at large because it is so intent on excellence, And he's threatening to take away the tax-exempt status from these places, which actually destroys them in a way, because no longer can donations to that entity be tax-deducted, and the place itself becomes taxed on much that it does, unlike any university in the world.
He wants to bar international students from coming to Harvard. International students, Sandy, I don't know. I'm assuming that international students, when they come to Harvard, they pay the full freight. They're not getting the kind of breaks that American citizens.
Well, let's talk about international students. One of them who turned into the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. Apparently, if Elon Musk was attending, if the person who's going to become Elon Musk was attending Harvard right now, he'd be told that he can't attend Harvard and he can't even enter the United States. You know, Elon Musk went to school here on a student visa.
You know, Sandy, I just don't think people grasp just the totality of what is happening in this country. They know certain segments of it, but Sandy, to even say to people that you don't have a right for peaceful protests, you don't have a right to free speech, Sandy. Things that you constantly, over the years that I've known you and talked to you, that you stood up for, he's taking those things away.
Well, it's a direct assault on free thought. On one of the things that is said in the demand letter of and the PR surrounding it about Harvard was the place that it was this bastion of liberal thinking. You know, it's a bunch of lefties. Well, yeah, if it's a bunch of lefties, does that mean that it's an appropriate place for the U.S. government to attack? It's the notion that this president can take all the tools of government and train them and put anybody or anything in the crosshairs of all the tools of government is an exceedingly dangerous prospect. And I'm afraid the waters in that pot that might cook the frog are already boiling. You know, we have an authoritarian president, and it's not just the vendetta of an angry politician. It's the actions of an authoritarian.
So Sandy, I listened well. You said we have an authoritarian president. We have now.
Yeah, it's there. It's in place.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the number. My co-host Sandy Williams is on the line.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, Sandy, our last dance for romance.
Yeah, well, I know. It's a little scary, actually. And you're stepping on my toes.
But it's a great, great, great selection, though. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at the same number. Yes, our last dance, Sandy, on the Earl Ingram Show, you know, for now. It's Friday, and that means Sandy Williams is on board. Sandy, I just have to say, man, you know, you have always tempered your responses to things. And I've never known you to be a guy who hyperbole. You really think about the things you say before they come out of your mouth. But I heard you clearly say the authoritarian government is here now.
Yeah, you know, I've for most of my life been considered myself a centrist, open-minded sort of person. I think I am. But to be honest with you, every morning I wake up and when I realize where I am and what's going on, I'm both angry and frightened. I'm angry that we're in this circumstance and we have someone as personally faulted as Donald Trump in charge. And I'm angry because so many people seem to be committed to the notion that Donald Trump should be allowed to do whatever he wants to do, as if he's now the king and the king has his way. When in fact, what we've got is a government that's supposed to have checks and balances and make sure that no one person ever becomes unilaterally that powerful. And then I'm frightened because if this is the model that is allowed to persist, then this is the model that will be duplicated going forward. This is how countries move from democratic republics to authoritarian republics. And we're there. We are living right today in the circumstances which reflect an authoritarian republic. And unless we wake up and reverse course, this is what's going to happen. And the people who are now, who call themselves conservatives, who apparently believe in this form of government, will be very uncomfortable when someone who calls themselves a liberal takes those reins and begins to deploy them in the same way.
You know, Sandy, when you just, as you stated, man, every minute, man, of every day, there's something that's going on. He's trying to bury history in one form, shape, or fashion. But he's trying to create a new history for our nation.
He's trying to reshape society, but unfortunately he's trying to reshape it in his image. Which is pretty, you know, I don't think anyone would concur that they want their children to grow up to be like Donald Trump. And yet he's creating an environment in which conformity is required. The original hue and cry of the conservatives was that they were being banished to the coat room because they were conservatives and they were being prejudiced against by the intellectual community, the liberal intellectual community. And what is their response today? But to banish everyone to the courtroom, to the cloakroom, except those who concur. And they are requiring a litmus test for consistency, which is very, very constrained. What they want is what Orwell wrote about when he wrote about the book 1984, which he wrote much, much earlier in the 20th century, and now he should have written it. He should have called it 2025.
You know, Sandy, I was reading something the other day where it's conservative news outlet, and it said that 64% of Americans agree that all illegal immigrants need to be banished out of this country. 64% of Americans. I don't believe that. I don't believe that number. But, you know, it is safe to say, and you and I know it, and everybody else knows it, our nation, if you banished all illegal immigrants, 11 million or more, the nation couldn't move forward, man. I mean, the economy would collapse.
Well, what's happening is that Donald Trump has this threat of banishing them all, and he's now going to line his political pockets and the pockets of his friends by having people who absolutely need them to stay in this country come forward to kiss his ring and to ask for lenience in the same manner that his tariff action has called for all kinds of corporations across America to come forward and beg for lenience, to beg for exceptions to the tariffs. And what is required in return for those exceptions is oaths of loyalty, contributions. Who knows? I mean, everyone understands that when tariffs are under the control and under the thumb of a president, it creates the tool for corruption at the highest level. And at the greatest amount.
So Lurlia, student visas are being revoked at the University of Wisconsin as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is a broad assault on everything that was all at once. This is a blunderbuss where operatives are in every agency are exercising all the tools of government to try and force and coerce a point of view.
You know, Sandy, I don't know. I didn't think there was a law against being liberal. If you know, I didn't think that it was a crime to be somebody who is not a conservative in this country. You know, I thought we had freedoms to be whoever we wanted to be.
Well, I think this is all a result of the long-term propaganda which has caused conservatism to be the litmus test for patriotism, and liberality has been accused of being people who hate America,
yes,
who are not patriots. And I think lots of people have bought into that concept. And that's the horror, that somehow being a conservative is to be an American and to be a liberal is to be an enemy.
855-752-4842. Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
To my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child in my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, yeah, first one was Last Dance. This one's about changes, just moving on through, succeeding after a landslide. And so that's what everyone does.
You know, Sandy, Trump's attack on the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, threatened the Fed's independence. And so no other president has attacked the Federal Reserve. It's separate from the government for a reason. Does he have the power to remove the Federal Reserve chair?
Well, he plans on potentially exercising it. And before he was elected, we talked about this during the campaign. The financial community talked about it during the campaign. It's very important to the financial community that politics and politicians not be in control of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is there to dish out the hard medicine that a politician would be very unlikely to serve up to try and quell inflation. Well, you quell inflation by raising interest rates. Raising interest rates is, by its very nature, politically unpopular. And if a politician is in charge, the financial community is terrified that the necessary medicine of interest increases to stifle inflation will not be taken, and that inflation will go from being moderate to runaway as the result of there being no perceived controls for it. And the financial community worried about this when he was running for office, He during the time of the campaign said he had no intention of attacking the Federal Reserve. He talked about how he would recognize and stand by its independence. And here we have him directly attacking it, talking about how the day can't be soon enough when he gets rid of Powell. And it's why is that? Because Powell several days ago said that the level of tariffs was potentially going to create some difficult scenarios. Well, he was just speaking the financial truth. He was just saying what it was that the people who look at monetary controls have to consider, which is the difficulty of the broad and large array of tariffs which are being implemented and what effect it might have on the economy. And now Donald Trump, because he uttered those words, says he's got to go.
You know, Sandy, it is so horrific when you think about all of these areas that he's poisoning at once. He's poisoning every fresh water reservoir that there is.
Well, the Federal Reserve are important to the rest of the is important to the view of the rest of the world of the stability of the dollar. One of the reasons the dollar has been so stable is that the Federal Reserve has been an effective central bank in terms of how it has contended with, for instance, inflation in the United States. Inflation is something that impacts the value of the dollar and could cause it to become volatile, and it could cause it to become weakened and less interesting to the rest of the world to serve as the reserve currency. Donald Trump, all of these actions he's taking, the tariff action, the action with respect to the Federal Reserve, and his general conduct has caused a very rapid erosion in the rest of the world's confidence in the dollar, as recognized by the fact that the value of the dollar is going down at a time when tariffs are being implemented and the value of the dollar ought to be going up. And the value of the dollar going down is like adding on to the tariffs, because a lower value dollar buys less in the way of world goods, and it's like imposing a tariff on everything that Americans buy.
You know, Sandy, you just got through talking about strange sell-off in the dollar raises the specter of investors losing trust in the U.S. under Trump. You know, Sandy, maybe the average person who is just living, we're just living our lives. We don't know the intricacies of how the monetary fund and all those things work globally, and how all these things interact to allow us to be able to get credit at a decent rate, to be able to buy homes, to be able to buy cars, to be able to have credit. We don't understand that at the root of the things he is doing now is destroying or making those things almost impossible for the American people to ever get again.
Well, the strength of the dollar as the reserve currency in the world is at the very heart of the prosperity that many Americans are able to experience. And if we lose world currency status, we will become what England became in the 1950s after the pound lost its world currency status. And it takes a long time for an economy to recover, because a lot of our economy is built around and dependent upon, our whole financial world is dependent upon that. Our ability to issue debt at the federal level is dependent on that. And so, you know, Donald Trump was a reckless businessman. He bankrupted himself or his businesses six times. He took four casinos down when everyone thought a casino could never go bankrupt. And now we've got the United States, which no one believes could ever have its financial solvency and reputation destroyed. And we have a president who, in the space of 3 months, is threatening to do that. You know, Donald Trump has never exhibited capability in a business setting, in spite of the fact that he was able to develop a brand that he said was premised on the notion that he was a great deal maker. He's never made a great deal in his life. He wrote a book a book was ghost written on his behalf that talked about it, but his conduct has never achieved that. And now what we've got is a president who's exercising this same sort of reckless conduct as president. And it's a horrible thing.
So
it's horrible. It's a dangerous thing.
On all fronts, He is bringing this to bear on the American people and the peoples of the earth. He is in all these different sectors, Sandy. I don't care what it is. He's put his stamp on it. And the worst part about it is, Sandy, is there are people now who supported him who are now realizing, hey, you know, this is a mistake. You kind of see, Sandy, the other part of this is getting ready to happen next month because they've got to then address cuts in the budget in order to offset the big tax breaks, and they're going to be going after the programs that they said they'd never go. I mean, all of these things are happening, Sandy, at the same time.
Well, and I think we have a public out there, the 49.6% of people, the less than majority people who elected Donald Trump, who are going to have to deal with what the psychologists call cognitive dissonance. You know, the cognitive dissonance is the concept that if you believed in something strongly, it was because your mind says it's because it was a good idea, because you don't want to admit to yourself that you were fooled or that you were a fool. And it's the reason why fraternities have hazing, because if you do a bunch of foolish things to enter something like a fraternity, your mind decides, well, it must be very important for me to enter this fraternity. It must be a very good thing. Or somewhere along the hazing, you realize that it's foolish and you don't proceed. And so that cognitive dissonance creates an extreme loyalty amongst those who go through the process. And what we have now, Carl Jung, the social psychologist, would say we've got a nation filled with cognitive dissonance who are going to have to try to resolve what they think about the fact that the person they elected is the fool that maybe he was reputed to be, which they bought into, and now they have to come to grips with. He is a dangerous person. He is a narcissist. And the people who say that we've got to get out of his way so the president can do what it is he wants are yielding to him the power to be capricious and reckless and to give the power to someone who doesn't listen to advice. He listens to his gut, someone who doesn't read things, someone who only exercises an intuition that bankrupted six businesses.
You know, Sandy, so many different frightening aspects. I remember when the conversation about Marco Rubio and becoming the secretary, and so people said, well, Marco Rubio is a smart guy. He's a great guy. And so the even Democrats said yes to Marco Rubio. What has Marco Rubio done, Sandy, since he's gotten there? He's capitulated.
Well, he's obviously on a leash, and it's getting to be a short leash, and he exercised a little bit of independence a month and a half ago, and I'm confident that he was told that he couldn't be Secretary of State if he kept exercising that kind of independence. You know, in the first administration of Donald Trump, there were people there who told him why his ideas weren't good ideas. In his second administration, we have a cabinet filled with people who call him dear leader, literally, and who tell him on media and on TV what beautiful clothes he's wearing. We have the emperor with no clothes and a cabinet who is exalting his wardrobe.
You know, Sandy, his cabinet, Congress... and you and I I want to hear your assessment of the Congress people who are the last bastion, I think. You know, I mean, certainly people mobilizing tens of thousands of people in the street. I don't even know, Sandy, if that's enough to stop this juggernaut that's kind of making its way down.
Well, I think that the juggernaut so far is based completely on the exercise of executive power, which Congress has it's very difficult for Congress to get in the way of executive power. It could try to pass a law that could strain the power of the president to declare a so-called emergency. You know, this power of the president over tariffs is premised on his capacity to declare an emergency status that requires that he respond to the emergency with tariffs. He did that with the bogus fentanyl emergency and has used that as the basis for now declaring all of these tariffs, which are the beginning of this exercise of imperial non-constraint. But Congress needs to try. But the fact is that the strategy of this incoming administration is to use imperial powers and to try and put the president in a position where he can ignore Congress. He's already declared his intention and has started exercising that intention to ignore courts with this deportation case. It's a clear case of him, putting his thumb to his nose and wiggling his fingers, which I just did at the Supreme
Court.
Hey,
Sandy, don't do that again.
Well, I think that was, to be honest with you, I kind of like doing it.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to take phone calls at the top of the next hour. So just be patient, please. Sandy got a lot more to talk about. I'm so terrified of where we're headed. I think everybody should be. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, this is the last show with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be doing podcasts in the immediate future, so we'll certainly welcome you guys to that as well. So Sandy, and we're going to take calls at the top of the hour. You know, Sandy, I am so, frightened, not because the media is afraid. I'm not afraid in that manner. I'm afraid at what we see coming, Sandy. You know how they always say, well, you see what's coming out of that tunnel, what you see is a train. It really is a train.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any way to turn it around now, Sandy. It's only been 3.5 months.
Well, I think we should understand that, I think Governor Gavin said that he thought the disappearance of this guy, the deportation of this guy was a distraction. I don't think so. I think that Kristi Noem using all this video to demonstrate the terror that ICE can create by coming in the dark of night and deporting people and disappearing people, is being staged for a reason. And I think the deportation of this fellow to El Salvador and the president's talk about taking homegrowns and sending them to El Salvador too is all part of a theater that's designed to have a chilling effect on America. It's much the same way that Putin would stage his murders of those who were dissidents in a manner that was not very private, you know, poisoning someone in the middle of London, taking Navalny and disappearing him to a gulag in northern Siberia, and having people fall out of windows unceremoniously is all part of staging the notion that if you are a dissident, this is what you might expect to have happen to you. Taking on Harvard and bringing them to their knees, having corporate executives show up and have to genuflect in order to get exceptions to tariffs is all part of a demonstration that if you don't buy into the president's program 100%, you can expect to have the guns of government turned upon you in a manner that could cause you to disappear.
You know, Sandy, clearly what he did with the Associated Press, he's been forced since to relent. But I think, Sandy, along the way, if you think it through, he's got control over the military. Okay, yeah. He's going to do whatever it takes, right?
Well, sure, he's already stationing troops down at the southern border, and whether that's a good idea or not, I don't know. But when he starts stationing troops around the United States in various cities and utilizing them in that manner, we can all be sure that we've got a serious problem.
There's bombing taking place in where the Houthis are located. I can't.
Yemen.
Yemen. And so the American people know nothing of the magnitude of what's going on there.
Well, incidentally, it's not getting a lot of PR because it's, in fact, not having a great deal of impact on the activities of the Houthis. You know, we had a shock and awe a couple of weeks ago where there was the announcement that was announced, unfortunately, by the group that had a group chat that had a newspaper guy in the group chat itself. But they aren't talking about it very much because the fact is that the shock and awe is not being very effective. And it's all part of a grand scheme, I guess, to try and flex muscle across the world, which isn't working very well. You know, the fact is that largesse has been a big part of the power of the U.S. government. And when Donald Trump withdrew largesse from the rest of the world, he left us only with military power.
You know, Sandy, you just, every day, there's something more. And yet, you know, like I said, he's still got people who are willing to follow him. You use the verbiage off the air, a cult.
Yeah.
Will you say that on the air?
I will. I mean, I think that a cult is something that you can understand exists when you see people talking about essentially a dear leader, in which the leader can do no wrong, in which they invest in the leader complete discretion to do whatever because they believe that whatever the leader does is okay by definition. It's a cult is where you can't ask one of the members what the belief of the cult is. They have to defer to the leader to find out what it is that they have to believe. And all of this is what's going on here. Donald, there's no liturgy in the Republican Party other than what Donald Trump describes it to be. And people have to wait to find out what it is Donald Trump says it is. There's no question that the Republican Party today, as manifested by MAGA at least, has become a personality cult, and that personality is Donald Trump.
All right, 855-752-4842. We're going to take phone calls at the top of the hour with my co-host Sandy Williams.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.